Welcome back. You're listening to A Woman's World. I'm Purvi Shah, and I have here the executive director of Adhikar, Luna Ranjit, here with me today on our show. So, Luna, can you tell me, what do you think was, for you, the best day you've had at Adhikar so far?
Oh, my God. That's a difficult one, because there's so many.
That's so great. I mean, yeah. Well, tell us about one or two stories that you feel like, you know, you were just so happy doing this work, because this work is so hard. I mean, everything you just talked about is, you know, depressing and difficult and challenging. So what are the days that you felt like really amazing and victorious?
So on Sundays, Adhikar is open from Sunday to Thursday. So on Sundays, you know, in the morning, I always drag myself in. It's like, I'm not a morning person. And so I drag myself in there. But everything that happens at Adhikar on a Sunday is just is what keeps me going, really, because this is, we have our English classes that day. We do like trainings and workshops, and we end up with like meetings, or like sometimes it's structured meetings, otherwise it's just informal gathering in the evening. And like over the period of last 8 years, but really in the last 4 or 5 years, like we've seen people's transformations. People who were so shy and could not even say their names in public are now like banging the table and saying, this is what I have learned and I am proud of it, or like testifying in public. And just the sharing that happens that day, like the just the sharing of stories, but also people bring food, people like eat food, like people just come and hang out, and
you can't have a bad day when there's good food, right?
Exactly. It just, and every day there's like some new like story of someone, you know, gets unpaid wages back, or someone that just speaks up at work, or recently there was someone who had tried to take her citizenship class and failed twice because of her English problem. And then she worked closely with one of our volunteers, and in her third try, she passed.
That's
and then
amazing.
She came back and told her story. And we've actually posted the video on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Adhikar, A-D-H-I-K-A-A-R. And there's a little bit about how she explains how she closed her eyes and imagined the interviewer to be the volunteer and answer
so
the question.
That volunteer must also feel so happy about the difference.
Exactly. And that's what keeps people coming. And what we're also happy about is our volunteer pool is also very diverse. Many of our volunteers are our community leaders themselves. So we half of the people who facilitate our English classes are themselves nannies. And they had professional lives back home and were teachers or educators, child psychologists, and they are now working as nannies, but they're bringing their experience from back home as well as their experience working as nannies, and then sharing that with other sisters in the community. And while helping them learn a little bit of English, they're really like making them feel like, I too can, like, you know, speak up, because it's like, I don't have to feel shame about being a nanny, or like, this is something that I should be proud of. And so just the things that happen on a regular basis at Adhikar. So that's why like picking one day is almost impossible.
That's amazing. I mean, it seems like what you're describing is so fantastic, because it's this community that's, you know, giving to other community members as well, which is such a nice balance to the stories earlier that you were talking about, about community exploitation. Yeah. So it's amazing to see that. How do you feel like you've been changed by the community work that you've done. I know you started at the beginning, we're talking about how your parents were political activists, and what kind of activism did they do, and how do you feel like you've changed through your activism?
Well, my parents were fighting for restoring democracy in Nepal. And so it was a different kind of political activism. And my father was also very active in the community. It's more of the services that needed in the community as well when he was younger. And for me, after I came to this role sort of by chance, you know. We started the organization in 2005 on a very small scale. Like, we were thinking about, New York is a very immigrant-friendly city. We will, tell, our community about all the amazing resources that's available in New York City, and they'll go and take advantage of it, and our work will be done.
You're like, here's the list, and this is where you can go to get help.
Exactly. But then what we found was, we would tell people where to go, and they'll come right back and say, either their, language was a problem, they didn't understand the system, they couldn't get through. And then we sort of started mediating and just got more and more involved, and Adhikar kept growing and became bigger, and, and we have try to build the organization around community needs as well. So we've developed new programs and
well, it sounds
for me,
like,
I guess personally, it's made me think bigger and be bolder, and also I guess think about myself as a leader, which I came to it very reluctantly.
That's amazing. I love what you just said, because you know, it sounds like sort of the whole organization expanded, or this idea expanded beyond what you ever imagined. And well, you're saying that you were a reluctant leader, but here you are 8 years later and leading this amazing organization that has 4 or 5 staff members now. Wow.
We have 3 full-time, 2 part-time.
That's amazing. So I think, do you kind of still look at yourself and think, oh my God, how did I get here? Or now do you just feel like, what's the next step?
Depends on the day you ask me.
I know, that's so honest, right? I think that, I think it seems to me, having led an organization myself, that it's always a challenge, and there's always beautiful moments, but you're always at that brink of both, where you're straddling what's possible and then the 1,000 things you have to do that day.
And also, what I do want to say is I am often the voice and the face of the organization, especially outside Nepali community, but it's the team that makes the work happen. I guess an amazing staff and board members, and we have a steering committee of community members as well, and volunteers, and there's overlap among all of them. So everyone's playing 3-4 roles at once, and so I think it's the team that makes the work possible, and I get to do these interviews and take credit for all of that.
I know. I remember I used to say, thank you all so much for making me look so good.
Exactly.
But, we say that, but I also want to say that, being a leader is not easy, right? Because, you have your team that supports you and the community, but it's also, you're the one that gets the credit oftentimes publicly, but you're also the one that gets the blame publicly, So I guess, how do you deal with that piece of it when, community members feel like you haven't done what they expected, or just, all sorts of challenges that come up?
It's tough. To be very honest, it's tough. It's the biggest challenge for us is that we are the only staffed organization working with a Nepali-speaking country in the entire country. That's and definitely the only organization with staff to think about policy issues or social justice issue and the role of Nepali community and the place for Nepali speaking community in the social justice movement. And but at the same time, it also, we are a small organization, right? You know, yeah, I mean, like, we've grown from like really nothing to 5 staff, and it's a lot. But at the same time, for you know, the work that needs to be done, we're not such a big organization. But the community looks at us as the only organization. Like, if you don't do it, who will? Mm. You know, how can you say you don't do it? Mm. And how can you say this is outside the scope of your work? And that's a very, very tough decision, because not just, I mean, partly because, like, where do we refer people to? And sometimes it really is beyond the scope of work for us, and we have no clue what the laws are or what is happening. But at the same time, we also feel like if we don't address it, who will? Mm-hmm. And so it becomes a very, I mean, more than the when people blame us or say things, that can also hurt. But the biggest challenge that makes me uncomfortable is when we get those cases where, you know, we really cannot do much, but at the same time, like, if we don't do it, we also pretty much know that they will not get help. Mm-hmm. And so that those are the challenges that we face on almost weekly basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking dilemmas, right? Because, you know, sometimes you just don't have the expertise, as you're saying, and sometimes there just aren't options either, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
And that always, it's heartbreaking to give people that mm-hmm. information. And then you also have to realize, like, everyone's time is so limited. I mean, it's, you have 5 staff members, but you don't have 500.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's only so much you can do, right?
Exactly.
So I think in that vein, I mean, it seems like so much of the, what's amazing about your work is that it is, there is a community center, and that you get to enable people to take their own challenges forward in some ways, right?
What we've been also doing is building leadership of our members, like active members. We've trained them. We take them and introduce them to our partner organizations. And so then they take up the leadership roles. They become the advocates. Really, like, 5 people staff, or even if we become like 50 people staff, we will not be able to address all the needs in the community. But what we're focusing on is building new leaders and leaders who can advocate, I mean, either through Adhikar or outside Adhikar. It doesn't even have to come through Adhikar, is what we believe. Like, and if people can resolve it outside Adhikar and we don't really even have to think about it, that would be great. But if that doesn't happen and they're just helping navigate the process or, like, doing the first level of intake and the support that is needed, that's great too. And we're starting to see that happen as well.
So you were talking, I love the idea of a leadership development project and, you know, again, enabling people to be able to take on their own struggles and challenges with mentoring and with, you know, understanding and being there when needed. But I want to hear a little bit more, as you were saying, you know, being a reluctant leader yourself, and then this new sense of having bigger and bolder dreams. So what do you think are your new big and bold dreams that you've thought about now?
So big and bold dreams is really for Adhikar to become much more visible and have an impact. One of the things we've been thinking about is, because we get calls and requests for help from around the country, and then so can we do, like, expand Adhikar outside New York is something we're thinking about. We don't have a blueprint of how we will do it yet, but that's on our thought process. Like, also, how do we connect to people's pre-migration work? Like, so that now we have people who are coming in saying they heard about Adhikar in Nepal. So they come in, like, within weeks of arriving in the U.S.
That's or amazing.
Definitely within weeks of arriving in New York. And so there is once they have a support system, they're less likely to get taken advantage of, or like the struggles that the earlier immigrants have faced.
That's amazing. You're a transnational organization in some ways, in that way. At least not that you're doing work there, but, you know, that people have heard of you and know. Yeah.
Well, some of it is actually, is on purpose, actually. Mm-hmm. It's been strategic, because every time I go home, I have reached out to the media and I have done interviews. I have... In last January, when I was there, I did a presentation about Adhikar's work. And so we're building on that. It's been more ad hoc so far, but we're really looking at, like, so with one of the things we're also looking at is like an international network of Nepali speaking domestic workers. And right now we have a network here of sorts, and there are organizations in Hong Kong of Nepali domestic workers. But then there are so many domestic workers, Nepali domestic workers in India, East Asia, in the Gulf countries. Right? And so if we can just have a network where we're sharing resources with each other, just sharing stories and just say, this is what's happening to us and this is how we're overcoming it, and then create a network and a push for the ratification of the International Convention on Domestic Workers, which ILO passed in 2011, but of course the US is not ratifying it, and Nepal government is in chaos, and so it's the ratification's not happening there either. So really push for ratification for that as well.
So that's amazing, Luna. I mean, I think just the work around the world that you're helping to make happen. So listening to all of this makes me exhausted thinking about everything that you must be doing. So I want to close by asking, you know, what do you do to rejuvenate yourself, or to take care of yourself, or to make yourself feel supported in this amazing work?
I am fortunate to be surrounded by very supportive friends, being with friends, cooking with them, eating with them. You see, like, food keeps coming back. So I think, like... I don't get to cook as much as I like, but cooking has always been very relaxing for me. So being with people who are loving and supportive and eating good food, that's how I've been relaxing.
That sounds like a great game plan to me. Thank you so much, Luna, for all the work that you're doing for the community. I know you can look up your work at your website, adhikar.org. So please check it out. So thank you all for listening in to our latest segment of A Woman's World. I look forward to connecting with each of you again.